Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. The football continues in England. The big game in the Premier League today saw Aston Villa play host to Chelsea. Chelsea, of course, coming into this game on a bad run of form. In the end, it finishes 1-1. Let's welcome in, shall we, Don Hutchinson, Frank Leboeuf and Stevie Nicol to reflect on this. Stevie, Frank Lampard was happy after the game. Should he have been?
I wouldn't go as far as say he was happy. I think he was content with the point. I mean, he said he was looking for a reaction. And basically, he was looking for the right attitude as much as anything else, because that was the problem against Arsenal. And I think he did get that. Clearly, you want a better performance. But the truth is, when you're throwing or making six changes to the starting 11, you can't expect a team to step on the field and be free-flowing and connected. And it took them 25 minutes in each half to get going. And as he said himself, the last 20 minutes of the first, when they scored, and certainly the last 20 minutes of the second half when they were pushing to win the game, they were the better side. Unfortunately, they did lose a goal in between, which I think is unlucky. That just, when things are going against you, that's what happens. One of your centre-backs gets injured, Christensen, that means you're down a man defensively. And of course, Azpilicueta steps into the centre-back position and El Ghazi's free at the back post. So I think he's content. Not happy, content.
Don, I saw you tweeting about that goal. You thought it should have been chalked off?
I did, and then I retracted it once I seen it again.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
My Chelsea emotions got the best of me, and I thought it was a foul. And then I seen it again, and I deleted the tweet, and I thought, no, I was wrong there.
Oh,
it was just.
At least no one brought it up.
It looked like a foul in the build-up. Then I seen it again, and it was accidental. And as Stevie said, you know, when things are going against you and you can't get the rub of the green, and Christensen was out of position, Kante then couldn't get back in on the cover. I thought they were a lot better, Chelsea.
Well, they could have been much worse. I suppose the argument is that
six changes,
the bar was set low.
I thought there was more commitment, a bit more bite about them.
The bar was set low, though, considering the performance against Arsenal. It was always going to be better.
No, that's true. That is true. But he still needed a reaction. Because if they had went under today against a decent Villa side, you know, Frank would have then been under pressure. So I think when he made that amount of changes and he saw, you know, Giroud, who I think is his best number nine, and I stand by that. I think he makes everyone in and around him a better players, the players that are playing in behind Giroud. I think he links the play a lot better than Abraham. But he still needs to get some of his players into gear, into top form, and that's going to take a little while. But I think, as Stevie said, it's one of them where they didn't lose. They're still in touch with the top four. They're only a point behind Man United, even though they've got a couple of games in hand, but they're still in touch and distance.
Well, you spend $300 million to not lose at home against Aston Villa, Frank?
Well, you have to go a little bit deeper in the explanation and the circumstances maybe of that draw. You played against a team with, first, a very good team, and who hasn't got a European campaign. We can rest in between. You played 2 days ago, and you changed half of the team. So everybody wanted to see a reaction, but a reaction from who? From the players who were on the bench last time and went on the field and be maybe angry at not playing instead of the others 2 days ago. So I don't know how to resume, you know, what I saw. It wasn't the nicest performance that ever, of course. As Stevie said, you know, we had two times where Chelsea showed that they were better than Aston Villa. When they pace up the game, it shows that they have the capacity of being better than maybe anybody else. But otherwise, it's too slow, it's too shy. There is a lack of intensity most of the time. We have to talk about Jorginho. I mean, that guy with the ball is a very good player. I'm not sure that the Premier League suits him. It's mostly a Latin European player in Italy, France, and maybe Spain, where it goes slower. But it's too light. And you need intensity. You need fight wires in the middle of the park. And definitely that guy is not that type of player. So when you need to regain a confidence from a team who just lost again the 15th of the table, you maybe need players who are ready to fight. And definitely it wasn't the case for Jorginho. Otherwise, it was a good performance against a good team, let's say, but not a memorable one for sure. And we, of course, everybody wants to see more about Chelsea. Mm. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's it. People, you want to see Chelsea trending in the right direction, Stevie. That's the thing, isn't it, if you're a Chelsea fan?
Yeah, I think we're not giving Villa an awful lot of credit here. By the way, Villa are ahead of Chelsea in the table. Villa are sitting in fifth position. They're actually sitting in a European place. So, listen, this isn't against any mugs. And this game for Frank really was about not losing it, in my opinion. They're on a bad run. They were awful against Arsenal, and he's made all the changes. So this is an absolute... This performance, regardless of it not being dazzling, is very much acceptable for Frank. That's what it is. It's acceptable. And I don't think we should go around thinking that today we were going to see a dazzling performance. When, in my opinion, Frank, as much as anything else, was thinking about the City game, because he knew, as coaches and as players, when you've had a rotten game the way they did against Arsenal, you're always going to get a reaction there. It's always going to happen. I've never seen it not happen. But I think Frank was thinking about the following game, the City game. I think he pretty much understood that this was the real test of where Chelsea really are. Not this one today.
Yeah, Chelsea playing host to City on January the 3rd. I can see the YouTube comments now, Don. Oh, look at them. All in love with Frank Lampard. Won't criticise their mate, Frank. If this was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they'd be wanting him sacked.
And they're right to say that, because, you know, we have an opinion on what we see. And, you know, I'm not just sticking up for Frank. The run that he's on's awful. Only one win in five. That ain't good enough. And if that was Ole, you know, people would be saying, well, they're inconsistent, Man United. And if it was Arsenal, they'd be inconsistent. Chelsea are inconsistent. They are. And Frank is under pressure. I think he knows that. He's an intelligent man. He knows how the game works. One win in five for a club like Chelsea is not going to put you under pressure. Of course it is.
Overall,
who's going to...
Go on.
Come on. Who many brains is going to be crying for Frank's head? They're sitting in sixth position. Come on.
No, Stevie, wait,
Stevie, be realistic.
Sixth position for Chelsea.
Yeah, but hold on. They've had a hiccup. They've had a bad spell. Every single team has a... Well, normally, you're talking Liverpool and City, the last few years they won the league. That's not normal. But every other team, everybody, has patches in the season where they're not quite at it. There's something not quite right. And Frank's in that right now. So you can't take anybody serious that turned round after today's game and says, "Well, they're six. They spent all this money. Frank needs to go." That's just being daft.
Let's twist that slightly then, Stevie. It's not good enough for a Chelsea side that have the ambition to spend all that money last
Dan,
summer.
They're having a blip. It's not good enough. It's not good. We're trying to make something out that's not... The position they're in, and the way that the season's gone so far, Frank's not in a position where we should, or anybody should, be calling for his head. This is absolutely
but
not.
But are we
the
not?
Right
in
a,
we, are we
Listen,
not? For
if the he f- goes another, if he goes another eight games, losing games, if he loses the next eight in a row, then yes, let's say, well, okay, hold on, he can't handle this. But we can't say that after what, four or five games? Come on.
I think we're in our right to question whether or not he can deal with this sort of pressure, can't we, Stevie? I think that's a fair enough question to ask. Like, only one win in five, you spent all this money, and there's no sign of progress. That's what would concern me.
Dan, I am not here as a Frank Lampard supporter. I'm not here at anything other than what I think is right, right? And the truth is, last season, when he got the job, we all said, not enough experience, can't handle it. He's got a load of young players. He's got no transfer window. Tell you what, he came through it with flying colours. Now he's gone and signed players. Starts the season well, gets himself in a great position. They're having a little funk, as I said. Now we've got to see, can he handle this situation? We can't go throwing him under the bus without giving him a chance to see whether he can handle the situation.
But we can question it, Stevie. If you look at his squad...
Oh, you can question it.
You can argue he's got...
Absolutely.
He's got one of the best squads in England, yes?
We can question who should play where, who should be sat in the backside, who should not be. Yes, of course we can question that. I'm just saying, We can't take anybody serious who turns round now after today and says, well, Frank needs to go. Frank can't do the job. Frank's not up to it. Frank's not experienced enough. That's nonsense to certainly go that route of question.
Dan, if I can add something, you know, I think we have to be cautious on what we do and find the right balance on our statements most of the time and our comment. You know, football is a very fragile balance where, you know, Aston Villa could have won this tonight with a shot on crossbar, but Chelsea could have won with the fantastic volley of Chilwell the last second of the game, and our discussion maybe would have been different. What we have to see is the whole situation and not be supporters. We are not supporters. I like Chelsea, but I have to be critical when they deserve it. What we have to see is the potential of what we see, but the potential of the coaches, what they offer to us, the reaction of what they do, and maybe we can say, well, should he stay or should he go? That's the thing. And right now, I want to give more chance to Frank Lampard because I think he has something to show us. And the same for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And of course, at the end of the season, we're going to make the real statement. Should they stay or not? But before, after 17 days, we're throughout a big pandemic, I think it's hard and would be harsh to say that coach should go. That's not fair. That's formally not fair for any coaches right now.
Away from the coaching, Don, it's clear and it's clearer with every Chelsea match how they miss Hakim Ziyech and how important he has been to their success so far this season.
Yeah, and Frank has had mitigating circumstances. I don't think at all this season, I can't think of one game this season where Frank's had his best 11 or what would be perceived to be his best 11, and Ziyech is in that. You know, he's an unbelievable player, a frightening player. I mean, he just destroyed teams in the Eredivisie and in the Champions League as well. So once Frank has a little bit of time to get through this bad form, and it's Man City next potentially, that could be a little bit more painful for him. It's Fulham after that, and he might be able to get, you know, a tune out of Timo Werner. He might even play Timo Werner in the FA Cup against Morecambe, just trying to get his confidence going. Kai Havertz, I thought, had some neat little touches today. Not brilliant, not amazing, but he needs a little run of confidence or a shot of confidence. And Ziyech is the same. Once he comes back from his little knock and his injury, and Frank has the ability to try and put his best team and his best formation on the pitch, it's a bit like the question we asked about Arteta last week. Is he under pressure? Well, he was under pressure, of course, because you're Arsenal manager. But not one of us, I don't think, ever said he should lose his job. And none of us are saying that about Frank. But when you are a manager of Chelsea and your results are 1-5, the pressure is going to be on you. And that's just the natural. That is just the nature of the beast. So, as I said, once Ziyech is fit and all the boys that he's got, trying to get them up to speed, which is going to be a test for Frank, when he gets them all fit and available, they'll shoot up to the league and they'll probably get back in the top four.
What is the best 11, Don?
Well, I mean, I said today, system-wise, I think it's four at the back. I think it's two midfield. And I think, as Frank said before, I've been fighting Jorginho's corner, Dan, for a good 18 months now. And I think I've got to back down on what I thought of Jorginho. I think he's a real good technician, but he goes to Italy, he goes to Spain. It could be a dream, you know, quarterback midfield player for someone. I think when I look at Chelsea's best two in midfield, it would be N'Golo Kante and Kovacic. And then you've got Havertz at the top, as in like a number 10 in his best position, Giroud leading the line, Pulisic off one side, and Ziyech. I mean, that four is pretty decent with the two players I mentioned in behind.
Isn't it quite something, Don, that you've got Olivier Giroud over Timo Werner? How things have changed.
Yeah, well, I you know, Timo Werner's out of form and, you know, he'll come back. But I think what Frank was hoping for, he was hoping for Timo Werner to go in as the number 9, displace Tammy Abraham, and then maybe that would have, you know, been a little bit easier to then move Giroud on. The fact that Timo's not done it as a 9, he's had to shift him onto the left-hand side, so then he's got a straight battle between Tammy and Giroud. And if you're asking me who's the best centre-forward, it's Giroud. Look what he's done for the France side in the World Cup. I think they played Australia in the first game, and they didn't really get a kick when they had all the sort of flair players and no Giroud. He then come back in the second game and France won the World Cup and he didn't score a goal, but he was brilliant for the players in and around him. So he has got an embarrassment of riches, and once he gets them fit, you know, Chelsea will not be languishing in 6th, 7th and 8th. That's for sure.
Who would have thought, Frank, we'd be genuinely having a conversation. Who should start, Giroud or Werner?
Well, that's completely crazy, but that's Olivier Giroud, and we've been warned, you know, so many years that we, and everybody, you know, I've said sometimes, you know, that Giroud shouldn't be with the national team, shouldn't be number nine for Arsenal, shouldn't be at Chelsea, but he's there, and he's becoming, you know, absolutely crucial to have a Giroud at the front of this team. He didn't touch many balls. I think before he scored, he had 14 touches. But what he does on the goal, even before the header, it's absolutely fantastic. And it shows how influential he is for the team. And when we see Werner right now, when we see Abraham as well, even if he scored, but what he brings to the team overall during the time he's on the field, yeah, you have to pick Giroud, because Giroud is the best striker right now for Chelsea.
This is bonkers, Steve.
Yeah, I would say, though, as well as Giroud's playing right now, you can't play him every game. You can't. He is far better when you play him, give him a complete rest, maybe miss the next game completely or have him on the bench. Now you can play him the next game. I don't think you can play him every game. But with the squad that Frank has, that actually might help him, because that means he can then throw Werner into centre-forward now and again. Or he can stick Werner wide and then play Tammy Abraham through in the middle. Maybe he can even try Havertz as centre-forward, because right now Havertz is so far out of form that I've been banging the drum about giving him a run of games. Even I can't do that right now. And that also means, with Don's team in particular, you've got no Mason Mount. I mean, Mason Mount's been as good a player for Chelsea all season as anybody else. So, embarrassment of riches, who do you play? But I'll tell you what, you can't play Giroud every game.
I'd be interested to see whether or not it will be Giroud or Werner against Manchester City on January the 3rd. Just a reminder, the boys stay with me late today to answer your tweets over on Extra Time. You can take a look at that over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
It's not pretty reading, is it, for Spurs fans? When you take a look at the stats of Sunday's 1-1 draw against Wolves, they, of course, took the lead early. And then after the 21st minute, no shots on target. In fact, just one shot overall. This is what Jose Mourinho had to say after the game. It is very disappointing. It's like against Liverpool, where you control dangerous players for 90 minutes and concede from a set piece, defending deep. That's not the intention. They know what I asked them at halftime. If they couldn't do better, it's because they couldn't do better. I know the way I prepare the team. I know all that and don't want to say much more than that. We didn't have that ambition or desire to go for more. Stevie, what do you make of this?
Well, I think clearly he's spent a lot of time and worked very hard with the players about the defensive shape. And sometimes when you do that and you do it too much and you do it too often, you kind of inhibit the players a little bit. And it looks like that. You know, whenever Spurs win the ball back quickly and get after the opposition at pace, then it all looks natural. But when it comes to them actually having the ball and trying to pass it around and people making runs and connecting and getting from back to middle to front, there's absolutely none of that. They almost look as though they're not sure how to do that anymore. So I think they're just stuck in this. Listen, we can win the ball back and just go 100 miles an hour straight after the opposition. Otherwise, we're not quite sure what else to do. That's what it looks like.
Do you agree, Don? It's almost like the mindset that's been instilled into them.
Yeah, 100%. And it's not easy as a player if the manager's having you and drilling you on how to play counter-attacking football. And I can half get by with what Jose done against Liverpool or try to do against Liverpool. I can half get by that because Liverpool are a top-class side. But when you play Wolves, even though I respect Wolves and they're a good side, when you score after just under a minute, surely you've got to have enough about you as a manager or a team to go on and try and get on the front foot and not have seven men behind the ball and just hope that Kane, Son and Ndombele get you another goal. It was just like, it was the Jose performance that we've seen before. We've seen it against Crystal Palace when they were winning 1-0 and they end up drawing that game 1-1. Then Liverpool smashed Crystal Palace by 7 the week later. That's what you do against sides when you score early. You get after them and your mindset changes. You almost like you reset yourself and go, well, forget about that early goal. It's still 0-0. Let's still drive on and get the next goal in the game. Tottenham seem afraid to me. They seem very afraid to try and open up. That's why Jose's drilling them, seven men behind the ball. Be hard to beat. But what you do is you allow good teams like Wolves and even the likes of Crystal Palace, as I said, if you give them enough possession and give them a little bit of momentum, good teams can hurt you. And by the way, Tottenham probably should have lost that game. No, Fabio Silva had a header at the end of the game. I think in the 94th minute, he had a simple header to make it 2-1. And he should have scored. So Jose's got to arrest the style that he's got his team playing in.
But he says that he's been telling them not to play that style, Frank.
Yeah, so we have learned something, that the player don't listen to Jose Mourinho, which is not that good, you know. And the fact is, he admitting that they have some problems in the dressing room because they play too deep. And he said, I didn't want them to play like that. So again, they don't listen to him. But I think he's not aware of modern football as well, because mostly, I think 65% of the goals are scored from set pieces, which is part of the game, and which is not part of the game for Jose Mourinho, because he said he did everything, but they conceded a goal from set pieces. He's completely part of the game, or part of defending as well. So he said as well that, in fact, he admitting that he has only one option, is defending, that you score a goal, you defend, you win 1-0, and bye-bye. And that's what I don't agree with him, is I think, as a great coach that he is, as he's shown before, and with the element that he has in the team, he should be able to have another option and score all the goals and not all the time by counterattacks. So that speech, that comment, is not good enough for me to explain why something is wrong with Spurs and why they can't win games against Wolves.
Stevie, just take us into the mind of the players. If you've got Mourinho at half-time telling you, don't go too deep, don't sit too deep, and yet you do, what's going on there, if indeed that is what he said?
Well, it's very simple, Dan, because I started off by saying that he's obviously spent a lot of time drilling into them what he wants defensively. And so what you end up doing is you end up taking a split second to think about whether he should go or not. Because you're so used to, or you've gone through, you know, a period of 4 to 5 games when it's all about positional sense. Don't open up. Don't leave holes. Make sure you're safe rather than sorry. To try and turn around and tell somebody, forget all that and go after it, it doesn't work that way. Your mind, you're about to set off, and all of a sudden, because of the drills you've been doing, you go, well, hold on a second. Unfortunately, in the Premier League, that split second that you waste thinking about it, everything starts again. And so that's why they can't get out of it.
How's that 50% looking for Spurs to win the title, Don?
That is way down. That is closer to 5.
You still give them a 5% chance?
5 or 4, something like that.
It's going down as we speak. Thank you very much. The action, of course, continues on Tuesday in the Premier League. Brighton against Arsenal. Arsenal, of course, looking for back-to-back victories. Everyone's gone for something different in this game. Then after that, it'll be interesting to see what happens between Wolves and Manchester United. Frank going for a Wolves win. Don and Stevie back in United. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. After a short break, La Liga back on Tuesday. Barcelona looking to move up the table. They play host to Eibar. No Lionel Messi for that game, but Messi all over the sports newspapers in Spain after that interview he did at the weekend. Very different reaction to that interview depending where you are. For example, the Madrid-based sports newspaper, Marca, saying the club is in a real bad state. AS, also in Madrid, I'd send the bureau fax again. Slightly different twist on it from the Catalonia newspapers. Sport, Messi now I'm happier here. Mundo Deportivo, meanwhile, saying Messi leaves the door open. A lot more reaction to the reaction to Lionel Messi's interview with Sid Lowe on the next show. Be sure to join us.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The A-League is back once again. ESPN Plus, it's home. You can check Hatch Brisbane Roar against Melbourne City tomorrow morning at 3 o'clock. Also on ESPN Plus, of course, the Championship. We've got three games for you tomorrow. Birmingham play host to Derby. It's Preston North End against Coventry, plus Stoke City against Forest. That's at 3 p.m. Eastern. Well, just a reminder, the winter break in Germany certainly is not as long as normal. In fact, they'll be back on Saturday. We've got eight matches for you. And then on Sunday, Borussia Dortmund against Wolfsburg and Bayern Munich against Mainz. It's the same scenario for the Italians as well. All their games will be on Sunday. Inter against Crotone live on ESPN2. Then the nine remaining matches here on ESPN+. The latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast drops today. Be sure to download that. Donna Hutchinson, I mean, he's around, he must be desperate, is their special guest. And if you want more from Don and from Frank and Stevie as well, be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next, where, amongst other things, the boys discuss their superstitions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. Don, Frank and Stevie with me. Stevie, do you see any truth to the rumour that Salah is unhappy at Liverpool? If it's true, is there anyone that can replace him?
I find it hard to believe that he's unhappy. I'm not quite sure where this is coming from.
Well, it's from that interview, isn't it, that he did with AS, where he said you never know what can happen in the future when asked about going to Real Madrid or Barcelona.
But listen, the media will always take it as, well, he's not happy, he wants to go. He may just be saying, I'm not going to say anything other than nothing, because he hasn't said anything. He's just said, I've got an open mind. He didn't say, oh, I'm not signing for Liverpool again. So it depends how you want to take these things. And actually depends on the individual. And I don't think Salah is the type of person who's going to go rocking the boat on purpose. I think he was probably just trying to be vanilla and ends up everybody's jumping on this as if he wants to leave.
Who, the second part of that, if it say he does go, Stevie, who would you have replacing him?
Ooh. Well, they've already got their, Diego Jota. So you've still got a great front three. Now you've got to go and try and get another backup. So, listen, I don't want him to go. He's frustrating, yes. I mean, he was frustrating against the weekend against West Brom. But I don't want him to go. The guy can produce something from nothing.
Steve Nichols says Liverpool don't need Salah, they have Jota.
Oh, shut you.
He's good at it. He's very good
now,
at it.
On yesterday's Extra Time, there was quite the debate between Stevie and Don regarding a 0-0 or a 9-9. Stevie said he would appreciate a 0-0 much more than a 9-9 because at least there would be some sort of tactical involvement. Frank, what are your views on that debate? Would you prefer to watch a 9-9 or a 0-0?
It depends if I'm on the fact that I'm in front of the TV or I'm on the field.
No, you're not on the field. Just to watch.
I'm on the field. I go for the 0-0. I was a defender. I'm pretty sure I would be half guilty for half of the goals if I'm on the 9-9. Whereas 0-0, I would have done my job.
That's obvious, that answer. But what would you prefer to watch, Frank? A 9-9 or a 0-0?
I think I would go for a 9-9.
Of course.
It would be funny to watch, you know.
Hold on a second.
I don't want to be bored in front of the TV. I want to have fun.
Is that the biggest contradiction you've heard in a long time? So a defender wants to see other defenders making a complete mess of it. I don't know about you, Frank, but I spend half my time shouting at defenders watching the telly when they make stupid mistakes or are in the wrong spot.
But you imagine, you're
telling me you
should
watch the telly, and you don't need to cross your mind. The guy should have done this, but that's okay. It's a lovely goal. I like to see goals.
Stevie, you know what? Having other players or big defenders doing a 9-9 makes me feel that, okay, I feel good because I made those mistakes. They can do the same, so I'm happy. You know, it's okay, you know. But I think I just watch a move. I just watch a football game. The essence of football is scoring goals. Mm. And even if I was a defender, I like to see goals. Of course, I don't want to see mistakes. Can it be a 9-9 with shots on target from 30 yards, top corner, with no mistakes from
defender? I'm going to gamble.
It can be.
I'm going to take a big gamble.
It can be like that.
If it's 9-9, there may be a mistake or two involved.
Steve, you're on your own
in this
one.
Maybe.
Don,
yes,
Aston Villa, Everton, Leicester, who will finish higher and at what position?
Aston Villa out of there because they won't finish higher than Everton or Leicester.
Okay.
And I will go against the Neil Satti's Nisi Optimum Everton shirt behind me, and I will say Leicester.
Leicester?
I think they've just got something about them this season.
So what position were they finished on? Here we go.
Leicester?
Yeah.
Fifth.
Who's finishing above them?
Liverpool.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Man City.
Yep.
Man United.
Right.
Chelsea.
There he is. There you go.
Spurs, Don. Spurs. 50-50.
Frank, what was a football skill you did not have at the start of your career and you worked on throughout your career to achieve it? When did you know you achieved it and how difficult was it?
Oh, what a question. I had hair before and I lost because of headers. So I don't know what I can say. But the physical aspect maybe of my abilities. You know, I wasn't very good, but I never thought that I could be better physically. And I worked hard when I came for Chelsea, and I was capable of going forward and backwards and forward and backwards, which I never thought I would be able to. I started my career almost midfielder, and I dropped down to defender because I never thought that I was physically good enough to handle the ball in the middle of the park. So, yeah, I suddenly realized that if I had worked better when I was at the academy, physically talking, maybe I could have played in the midfield zone, maybe.
What about you, Don?
I can remember Graeme Souness talking to me when Stevie was there. I mean, Graeme Souness didn't fancy me as a midfield player. He said to me, you do too much running. You need to stand still. And I went away from that. And I went, one of the lads asked me, Jamie Redknapp asked me, what did the gaffer say? And I went, oh, he told me to stand still. And he went, what does that mean? I went, I've got no idea. I don't know what he just said there. And then all of a sudden, about 6 years later on, I had a light bulb moment when I was playing for West Ham. And I was standing still, and the game was coming very easy to me because I was standing still and not just running here, there, and everywhere. So, with experience, you learn about the game, and you wish you knew what you knew at 30 when you were 17, 18, 19, trying to make your way into the team. So, experience is what you get, but you can't be taught that. You just get it by number of games and repetition and how many pitches you take in your brain throughout the hundreds of games you play.
6 years for the pennies to drop, Don. You know what?
Hey,
by the way, a little bit slow, but he did it.
Go on, Stevie.
By the way, all these little nuggets are passed down. You know, Don's saying, well, Graham told me this. Graham didn't invent it. It was Joe Fagan that passed it down to him. And probably I'm wondering who passed it to Joe Fagan. So, you know, all of these things have come down all through the years. And that's why...
There's the phone, everyone.
And that's why we can't forget about the past, because there's a million things that have happened in football that were going on 40, 50 years ago that apply today. And that one that little nugget Don brought out is perfect for today as well as it was 40 years ago.
Frank, what's happened to your background?
Oh! I don't know. It's because it's late. We have to go to bed.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, almost.
Stevie.
Voila, pardon.
Is Jurgen Klopp the biggest sore loser in football? He complains about defensive teams being defensive, about the Premier League's fixture list, three subs and not five, and even kickoff times too.
I wouldn't argue that he's been a little prickly recently. It's the first time I can ever remember listening to him and thinking, right, I've had enough of that, Jurgen. You know, there's a time and a place and to criticise things, but when you keep doing it time after time after time, it gets old and it gets annoying. So right now he's in a prickly mood. I hope he stops doing it, and I'm sure he will. He's probably just a little frustrated, like we all get sometimes.
Liverpool legend Stevie Nicholl tells Jurgen Klopp to shut up and get on with it. That's what we're hearing, Stevie.
I think he has to go to look for on his jeans. He looks like more French than German in those circumstances, you know, complaining, criticizing everything.
Yes.
Really looks French.
That's a French trait.
Maybe he has a little bit of... Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is, yeah.
Any of you guys had superstitions like Jack Grealish and his socks? Don?
Hold on a minute. Jack Grealish's biggest superstition is he has to throw himself on the floor 15 times at least a game. That's his biggest superstition.
That's Neymar. That's not Grealish.
I'm sick here.
That's Neymar's superstition.
I was actually looking at the clock today. The first time he went down was just under a minute on the clock. The next one was on 3 minutes. Oh. The most embarrassing, he threw himself on the ground near where the dugouts were. I mean, it was just embarrassing. Honest to goodness, if Jack Grealish stayed on his feet more, imagine what he would do. He's a brilliant player, but imagine how good he would be if he just didn't go around looking for free kicks and diving all over the place. It really spoils it for me when I watch him doing that, because he's such a good player. Right, I've got it off my chest.
Damn those South Americans coming over here and diving around. Don, superstitions?
Not really.
No.
If I'd played well, having a shower before a game, I'd shower the next game, and then when that didn't work, I'd have a hot bath and just hoping something might change. But the best one I ever saw, and Stevie will back me up on this, was Bruce Grobbelaar at Liverpool. And he used to have a ball in his hand, and the light switch was probably, I don't know, Stevie, 5 yards away. And Brucey used to ping the ball off the light switch, and he wouldn't go out on the pitch to warm up until he hit the light switch and turned the lights off in the dressing room.
You've told us about that before, Stevie. It's annoying, yeah?
I think he continued to do it at home. I think eventually... I think it was Ronnie Moran because he started doing it when we were away from home as well. So it's already at home for some reason, you can get away with it, but he was doing it away from home. So sometimes you've got tiny wee dressing rooms. I think eventually Ronnie Moran said to him, right, you can do that at home, but don't ever do it away again. And he just stopped doing it.
Stevie, you had millions of superstitions, yeah?
Oh, aye. Same as Don's talking about. If you remember something that you did, then you do it again. But the chance is you forget it by the next week and something else has cropped in your head, so you try that. It's a continual process of covering your back, basically, with nonsense.
Frank?
I gave up superstition when I was like 23 years old because I was going crazy, like just Steve said. I was wearing the same underwear every game. I was washing it in between.
Right.
And the thing is that, for example, in Strasbourg, we had three urinals in the bathroom, and I always had to go in the one in the middle. And one day I was late, and the two on the side were free. One player was taking some time in the middle, the urinal in the middle, and the ref start to whistle to say we have to go. And I say, no, I have to wait. And the coach started to shout. And I found myself so ridiculous at that point that I gave up all superstition. So after 23 years old, and I remember Romario when he was shooting, when he was playing for Barcelona, shooting balls on the, footballs on the stand. And, you know, signing himself like four times and saying, can you imagine if he had scored? You know, how many times he would have signed himself. So I think, you know, I'm not crazy about superstition. I think it's it drives you crazy, like just Nico said.
Did any of your French teammates have any, Frank, that stood out?
Like crazy superstition?
Yeah.
Nothing in particular that I've noticed. I was so busy with mine, you know, when I was before 23, that no, I didn't see anything, no, nothing special.
Stevie, were there any managers back in your day who were in the mould of Sam Allardyce, someone who was always able to deliver results for unfashionable clubs with an uncompromising brand of football?
No, can't think of any.
No.
No, I can't think of any. To be honest, Dan, I would say the reason being is that in today's game, the difference between the teams at the top and the teams at the bottom, as far as ability was concerned throughout the team, wasn't as high as it is today. I mean, if you look at the Liverpool team on paper and you look at the West Brom team on paper, the difference in ability is just incredible. And there's no other way to make up for it. Whereas when we played, of course, you could tackle harder, you could be more physical against opponents, and so it kind of narrowed the field. Yes, if you did the same way as on paper, we were better than other teams, but they could go about it in a physical manner, particularly along with a lot of other stuff like the ball and growing the grass and just all types of other things that you could do to close the gap. You can't really do an awful lot today other than what Sam did and what Slaven Bilic did at City, by the way, 2 weeks previous with his team, and stick 10 men behind the ball.
Stevie, final question. Your New Year's resolutions, any new diet plans?
Absolutely.
What's the plan?
Diet. I mean, diet is pretty simple. Put less in there. There you go.
Yeah, but I believe that's been attempted many times before.
If you don't want to get too technical, stop putting in as many things in your mouth.
Remember that time when you were on Twitter and you wanted people to sponsor you to lose weight. Didn't you say, if you get $1,000, I'll lose 20 pounds?
No. That was typical. That was a typical Thomas Burley combination of trying to turn this into... No, what I was trying to do was put the money to charity. That's what I was going to do. I wasn't wanting to get sponsored for myself.
That's exactly what it is, a sponsor. You wanted to be sponsored to lose weight.
No, that's not how you made it look.
But that's exactly what you said. You said, sponsor me. If I get $1,000, I'll lose 20
pounds. No, I used your word. The money was the one that people that wanted to would put the money into a... What I would have done was got on the site where they would put the money towards a certain charity.
Then what if you didn't lose that weight?
Then I had to cover it.
Oh, but you didn't want to listen to that. Definitely not the case.
See, you didn't want to listen to that bit. A typical Thomas. He only makes up and listens to what he wants.
Don, you might not have seen it. Stevie posted a picture of his horrible feet on the scales, with his toenails and everything. And if you don't give me money, I won't lose weight. Right, that is it.
Cash it.
Do you have any new?
Say what I mean.
Any New Year's resolutions, Frank?
No, nothing much. I have to lose five pounds.
Oh.
No, it's kilos. Yeah, 5 pounds. Which is
Frank. If you need any advice, give us a call.
Thank you, Stevie. I'll call you.
Don, are you going to be? I imagine you'll be on your bike more. Fascinating.
Don wants to put some on.
Oh, you're not on Instagram, Stevie.
His whole life.
Don posts every day about his cycle route that nobody cares about. Oh, look, I went cycling today.
Mountain biking, Dan, it's amazing. Get in the countryside, get in the forest, get loads of mud on your face.
Oh, great.
15K, it's amazing.
Nobody cares, Don. That is it. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. More resolution talk. We'll see you then.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.